Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. I want to read a passage here to get us started. Galatians chapter 6, and tonight what we want to do is take a look at a review of 2016 and what the Lord accomplished in us, in our church, in our ministry. And as we look at that, I'll also give you the opportunity to give a testimony, or maybe at the conclusion of the message, we'll see where it fits in best. But also we'll talk briefly about what we might look forward to in the year 2017 and see if it's any different from what we've looked forward to the previous years. And so let me just read one verse to get us started, verse number 9. This is Galatians chapter 6. It says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to bless this service tonight, bless this message. Lord, it's one just of a testimony of perhaps wonderful things that you've done in 2016 and our expectations of what to look forward to in 2017. But nonetheless, bless in the message, bless in what is said. And Lord, might we look back and praise your name for the things that were accomplished. And Lord, might we look to thee to accomplish great things in our midst and in the midst of our church in 2017. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Bible often speaks of establishing memorials. And there's a number of memorials referenced in the Old Testament. I don't know that this is necessarily the first of such memorials, but in Exodus chapter 12, in verse number 14, it says this, "And this day," talking about the Passover, "shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." You know, something very significant, something very sensational, too, happened to the people of Israel surrounding this feast or this Passover meal. And most of us are familiar with that because it's one of the most significant events that happens in the Old Testament scriptures. God told the people of Israel to take a lamb, to slay it, to take the blood of that animal, and to apply it to their doorposts, the sides and the top. And he said, because that evening the death angel would pass over. And when the death angel passed over, the firstborn of not just everyone, but of everything would die, man and beast alike. And yet God said, wherever the blood is found, the firstborn would be spared. And so the firstborn from the families of the people of Israel who believed and did what God said were spared. But yet every Egyptian family lost their firstborn son. All their animals lost their first offspring as well. And so this was a significant event. This is ultimately what allowed Pharaoh to send the Israelites out of Egypt, because he was always and continuously reluctant to do so up until this last plague. And so God wanted the people of Israel to remember what had happened. And what better way than to establish a memorial where what took place that day could be stressed year after year after year. Also in the book of Joshua, in chapter number 4, another significant event takes place, and God tells his people to establish a memorial. In Joshua 4:7 it says, "Then ye shall answer them that the waters," and it's talking about when your children ask concerning this memorial that was built. It says, "And ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." You know, again, another significant and sensational event had transpired. The Jordan River was cut off, was split in two. allowing the people of Israel to cross over into the promised land. This was a significant event where God had brought to fruition the promises that he had made to his people years before. And God didn't want them to forget. He wanted them to remember what he had done for them here at the Jordan River. In Esther chapter 9 and verse 28, God institutes another feast. This was a favorite way, I guess, that the Lord had in creating memorials. But in Esther chapter 9 and verse 28, it says, "And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout your generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed." If you're familiar with the book of Esther, and I think most should be, you know that God miraculously and supernaturally intervened and protected his people from the harm that Nahum sought to do them. He wanted to destroy them. He wanted to kill every Jew throughout the Persian Empire. But God intervened. God showed up for his people. And again, it's in a very providential way as well throughout the book of Esther, because had God not intervened, no doubt Haman would have had his way and the Jews would have been exterminated. So God wanted them to remember this day. And so he established the Feast of Purim. And then there is at least one, there's probably more memorials that could be referenced in the New Testament, but one that we're about to partake of here this evening, and that's the memorial of the Lord's Supper. And he said that we're to do that in remembrance of him. It's something that God has established so we would not forget what took place at Calvary. So again, God does this repeatedly in the Scriptures. Has the people established memorials? He wants them to remember. And so really, you know, every year, at the conclusion of every year, I like to take either our night watch service or one of the services shortly into the new year and look back at the events that transpired in our church. You know, some of the more significant events and even some of the smaller events that have taken place. And I don't have the greatest of memory, and so really what I do is I keep all the bulletins. I have every bulletin from the time that I came until now, and I just look back, you know, at the 52 bulletins of 2016 and look at the notes and announcements included in those bulletins. And so I did that for 2016, and I saw where we had a number of preachers come in and preach for us. Evangelist Mike Thurman, Jeremy Combs, Pastor David Sorensen, and Brother Danford recently, and Danny Ramirez all came and preached for us in 2016. We had missionaries Zach Gerwitz. Anybody remember where he was going to? Brazil. Eric Schaffnitz. Anybody remember where they were going to? South Dakota and the Indians. And then Tom Green and his wife also were with us. Anybody remember what they do in their ministry? Yeah, they distribute all kinds of things that churches might have need of. And an interesting ministry there after pastoring for a number of years in Kentucky. At the beginning of 2016, the bull camps were sent off by our church for a full-time deputation. I think they might have kind of begun efforts in August of 2015, and is that also when they quit their job at McDonald's? And so they did a lot of deputation at the end of 2015, but I don't remember the exact date of their send-off service, but they started full-time deputation in Alabama during the month of January of 2016. You remember they were located and headquartered out of the Morris's home church in Alabama. So that, to me, is one of the more significant things that took place for our church in 2016. The bull camps hit the road full-time in deputation. And they visited not only Alabama, but spent a few months in Colorado and in Texas, and that is, they continue to work in Texas today to get support. Those are some of the missionary activities of the church in 2016. In regards to the youth rally, our youth missed winning the overall points award by for the fourth year in a row by just 10 points, which this has been a good decade for Shepherdsville Baptist Church when it comes to the youth rallies. It's funny that a number of times, and Brother Danford, he mentioned to me again when he was here just how much feedback he got when Jamie stayed in the youth rally that last year. I think there was a lot of people that wanted her gone. And he said, well, you'll just have to study harder. And he said he thought everybody really did that year too, in part because of the fierce competition that existed. Perhaps not spiritual things, but we have a new furnace in 2016 that's running. And praise the Lord, that was kind of right at the right time. The back one seems to not want to stay lit all the time. And Lord willing, in 2017, we'll get our new air conditioner installed as well. Along those same lines, we gained internet access, wireless access, and UMA access at the church. I know you guys aren't real excited about that, but that could really propel us into the 21st century as a church. We might start streaming our services or something. If we do, we'll have everybody sit in the front three pews. Just look the camera right on that and make it look like it's full. Of course, we had camp, as we do every year. Pastor Hendricks' theme was staves or an ox cart. And I preached a series of messages on doing things God's way. Being saved God's way. Being pure God's way. A number of other things. Shortly after that, we had our vacation Bible school. I meant to look up some additional information on this, but this was the year, 2016, that we all dressed up like knights and princesses, right? What was it? The Mad Scientist. That was 2016? Okay. I should have looked it. I told you I should have looked that up. So what was our lessons on? That's what I looked up and couldn't find. For VBS, Lisi came up with the lessons. And anybody remember? Okay, that's right. Those must be on my laptop because I couldn't find them on my computer down here. So maybe this year's VBS will be more memorable to me. Of course, we sent Tim off after he graduated to PCC. Maybe the first of our young people sent far, far away. Is that right? Am I correct in saying that? Jamie, you're not far away. You come back every weekend. So that doesn't count. But all events that transpired in 2016 weren't positive. Joe Biggs went to be with the Lord in his accident. Somewhat positive for him, yes. Paul did say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We had one of our members, at least for now, step away from us. A sad thing, something we should pray about. In 2017, we had a big event with the dedication of the historical marker on the property. Certainly gave the church a great deal of visibility. To my knowledge, really only had one person come and attend our services as a result of that. But nonetheless, we were able to get out in front of the community and be amongst some people that we wouldn't have had the opportunity had we not helped and assist with that project. In October, we went out as a church to the Covered Bridge Festival. I don't know that we've done that before. It's always been a goal of mine to pass out tracts at the Covered Bridge Festival, along with the Little Italy Festival that we went to a number of times. But praise the Lord, we were able to distribute a great deal of tracts in Rockville. And Lord willing, this will be another year where we can distribute tracts at these local events. I mean, it's the time of year that God brings people to us rather than us happen to go to people, and so we should seize on those opportunities. But those were some of the highlights that I took from our bulletins in 2016. Anybody else remember of significant things that took place last year in our ministry? Or even if you want to give a testimony of what the Lord did for you in your life in 2016, and what kind of changes maybe He had you make. Heather?
Well, I'm just thankful for, like, starting school and, like, that it's all worked out with my job, and, like, that I've been able to pay for it, and that I've had, like, chances to witness to people at work, and they seem pretty open, and I hope that to have more opportunities this year.
And the change in my work as well will give me the opportunity to be around and witness to a new group of people, which is always where there's always potential that they come to our church, because many of them live in this area. Anybody else want to give any kind of testimony or remind me of something else that happened, Jamie?
I was really working on me about that and just keeping in my focus. I was like, wow, I'm going to do this. Every day I keep on my focus, and then I kept reading in that book of Isaiah, and it said, I, the Lord, have called thee righteousness, and I pulled my hand and will keep thee in your leaf for our life, live and travel with God. God is with us, and He's going to help us do things, and He's going to hold our hand, and I feel like sometimes I would get the idea that God puts us through things, and He's watching us. Oh, you're going to follow us, you're going to follow, you're going to trust me, you're going to fall. Well, no, I mean, in a sense, that's it. Like, God is right next to us. Like, He's helping us through it. He's not watching us waiting for us to fall. Like, He's putting us through what we're going through, just so He can be with us. And that was really encouraging about it, just to see Him work through that. And then at Suburban, I've been going there the last 2 years on Wednesdays, and it was awesome for the program. And there's tons of kids that come. And so I talk to the teenagers a lot. And so I've been building a relationship with a couple of girls throughout the year. So I was like, and then I had to come from trouble home. And so I was like, wow, I can really help these girls. Like, God is just giving me the opportunity. So I was praying that I'd be able to talk with them. And then I was talking to one girl one time on our one-on-one that we had. And she was always really vague and shallow. She just broke down. She just poured her heart out to me. It was like everything that was wrong with her. So I was really able to show her God's promises. And I was going through them, like, some of them they gave us such a promise. So that's all about. I was just like, no, look at this, look at this. And she's like, wow, you know, I think God really cared about it. And she's never had someone who truly cared about it. And so now I get to see her, like, every week. And she's like, oh, I heard this and this. And she gets so excited. And it's just such a blessing to see these kids, like, learn about God. Like, the teenagers especially. Like, they're just so open. And they're growing. And it's just amazing to watch them. And at the college also, just, I was thinking about my freshman year compared to the semester I'm going into. And I was like, wow, God is really working in my college. Like, my friends, like, we goof off all the time. But, you know, we're serious a lot. And just to see them, and I talk with them, you know, to pray with them, just to see what God is doing in their life. They'll tell me about, like, things and, like, things are working. I'm like, wow, like, God is still working. Like, even in the small community, we seem to have, like, there's not very many of us left, but wow, He's still there. It's just awesome.
Anybody else? Sure.
Well, something that past somewhere else, I was living, not in his will. He was taking me. I was confused. And the thing that changed the most is when I spent time in prayer. It almost does the same, but it's asking him for truth.
Why we want to have those memorials, right? So I want to reflect upon what God has done. Because the next time we go through it, we'll recall what He did the last time. And it should be much easier for us to go through our trials the next time. Because we've seen Him provide. Do you recall in 2016, at one point, don't remember exactly when this was, but it was the last half of the year, for sure. But you know, it just seemed like things were in such disarray that we might not even be able to continue to go on as a church. You know, as a pastor, it just seemed like everything was falling apart. I mean, there were young people that weren't doing right. There were adults that weren't doing right. There was misunderstandings. There was just so much going on all at the exact same time that it seemed to me then that it was just time to move on. You know, but the Lord has kind of brought us to where we are. And a lot of those problems seem to be in the past, not all of them. But I think it's important for all of us to learn from that and realize as a small church, it wouldn't take much for us to cease to exist. And, you know, that's not the Lord's will. And let's not be so selfish, you know, to be more interested and what we want to do with our lives and then following God's will. Because if we choose to do what we want to do, you know, not only is it going to disappoint, you know, our loved ones, our parents, what have you, but it could very well have greater consequences, you know, of causing this ministry to cease to exist. So again, many things to remember in 2016. But here we are in 2017, and A lot of times we become anxious and wonder and anticipate, what might the Lord do this year? What might we see transpire in 2017? Well, you know, I'll remind you of the passage I read at the beginning of the message, Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't become tired in doing what's right, because that's very easy to do. You can grow weary, you can become tired, and always having to exercise restraint and moderation and discipline. You can become tired of planting seeds and planting seeds and planting seeds and not seeing the kind of harvest that you desire. And that's why God says, grow not weary in well-doing. And He tells us why we don't have to grow weary, or why we shouldn't grow weary. It says, for in due season, in the right time, we shall reap, and faint not. There will come a day where we, number one, will reap what we've sown. But in addition to that, there will come a day where we will no longer be tired if we faint not. But we'll mount up as on eagle's wings. Reminds me of another passage we looked at recently in our home devotions, James chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, be patient therefore, brethren. Same idea, right? Endurance. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto, notice how long we have to be patient till, unto the coming of the Lord. You have to not faint. You have to not quit. You have to endure all the way up until Jesus returns. And then, I guess in an effort to encourage us, it says, behold, the husbandman, the farmer, he waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, it says. He plants the seed, April, May time frame. And then he's got to wait, May, June, July, August, is it ever going to get here? September, and then finally in October, he gets to reap. It says he waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Got to wait for those spring rains, those fall rains, and when that harvest is just right, he reaps. But he doesn't get his fruit immediately. It doesn't grow overnight. It takes time. And he says in the next verse, that ye also, be ye also patient, just like the farmer. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. Get settled and grounded in the faith. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You'll notice both here and in the book of Galatians, the idea probably is not that the harvest comes in this life, but that the harvest comes in the next. The real harvest. And you know, I know in America with the history of Christianity here in this nation, especially within our lifetimes, we like to think that all of the fruit of our labors will be seen in this life. Because traditionally that's what's happened. When people get out and witness and soul win and labor, people are saved and churches grow. But it's not always been that way. It's not always been that way since the time of Christ. I know that early in the church there was great growth. But it's not that way today in every part of the world, nor has it been in the past. Christians have been slaughtered, persecuted, martyred. I mean, the Dark Ages is a period of time that lasts 1,000 years. Where Roman Catholicism persecuted, put to death, untold thousands of people for their faith in Christ. They never saw the fruit of their labors in this life. They had to wait till the next. And that's kind of consistent with many of the labors of the Old Testament saints. You recall Brother Danford in his message, he mentioned there in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, they all died in faith, having not received the promise. God gave to Abraham promises. He never saw the fruition of most of those promises. His seed never inhabited the promised land during his lifetime as their possession. I mean, they lived there, but it wasn't their possession. That would take place hundreds of years later. But they died with the promise having been unfulfilled. But I also like to think, because of Psalm chapter 27 and verse 13, that we can expect to see some fruit in this life. The psalmist, this is what he said. This passage has really got a hold of me at different times in my ministry. But he said, I had fainted. He said, I would have quit unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I think another way of saying that is, you know what, I would have quit a long time ago if I had no hope of seeing God bless in this life. Now the psalmist perhaps is just being honest with us. Maybe this is not an attitude that we should possess. Certainly it isn't. But boy, it's how we feel sometimes. But we can't be laboring solely for the Lord based on what we're going to see in this life. Because if we are, you know, chances are somewhere along the line we will quit, because we won't see the types of things that we are desirous of seeing. I mean, we would have quit a long time ago if our efforts here at Shepherdsville Baptist Church were due to the desires of seeing this sanctuary filled, because it's not happened. And so if that is our goal, if that is our sole objective, well, it's not been accomplished, and you could see where we would very quickly give up. But again, our text admonishes us not to grow weary in well-doing. Don't become tired. Don't become weary. Don't become dissatisfied and discontent with a little bitty ministry in the middle of nowhere. Just serve God where He's called you. Serve God in this local church. And if He chooses to bless, He blesses. And if He chooses to wait, He waits. But serve Him nonetheless. I don't know about you, but I assume you share the same desires as me in 2017, and you want to see souls saved. You want to see personal growth in each of our members. You want to see the boat camps make it to Romania. You want to see members restored. And on a less significant note, you want to see our facilities improved. But these are all things that we can look forward to and work towards in 2017. I'm sure we could add many other things to that. But let's look at this year expecting God to bless in our lives individually and in our church corporately. And let's pray to that end. Let's do, more than pray, let's do what we can to see God bless in 2017. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Scriptures. Thank you for the many memorials that are spoken of in the Old Testament. And Lord, even this one in the New reminds us that we should look back in the past at what you have accomplished. And Lord, praise your name for all the goodness. And Lord, as we look back at 2016, maybe in many people's eyes it would seem like a relatively insignificant year, but I don't think so. Lord, as I mentioned moments ago, there was a time when I personally wondered if this ministry would continue on. And yet here it is, going on for the cause of Christ, and we thank you for that. Lord, we do ask that you restore those who are wayward, bring them back into fellowship with thee and with thy people. Lord, I ask that each person here understands the importance of their role in this local church, and that if they step away from you and your will, that it's likely to have consequences in this local assembly. And Lord, so help us to keep going. Keep going for our sake. Keep going for this church's sake. Keep going for Jesus' sake. God, help us not to grow weary in well-doing. Help us to continue to sow the seed of the Word of God. Lord, help us to continue to seek to grow in our lives and to serve you in a greater capacity. And Lord, we ask that you accomplish your will in and through us and in and through our ministry. So just take some of the things that were said tonight and use them for thy glory and the good of thy people. I pray this in Jesus' name.